I have two questions. Start off with this one. Any practical word for those younger ones serving and leading in fellowships with children? How to follow the Lord and serve during this very busy time of work, raising children with a very real desire to also serve the body? So, first of all, we know from the Bible that the heart to serve is a quality of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord himself said that I came not to be served, but to serve. And so this heart to serve, we're thankful for, because the functioning of the house of God is dependent very much on brothers and sisters having the heart of the Lord Jesus in these things. This morning I was thinking about even our conference these last couple of days and the brothers and sisters who took care of all the small details and made sure that everyone was okay, and these small things that perhaps we don't keep track of, the Lord is very much keeping track of these things. And he sees all the different measures of Christ that are being expressed in the house of God. And the other verse that came to mind is in Galatians chapter 5, that we were given a freedom and what to do with this freedom. And the conclusion was, but in love or through love, serve one another. And so I think that before we begin to talk more about the details of the question, the heart to serve is really of the Lord. And we believe that as the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts over time and we're being transformed from glory to glory, that if more of the Lord's heart can be manifested in our lives, that this heart to serve might come forth. Now, it just so happens that by the time we're really following the Lord for some time, the Lord's growing on us, and all of a sudden, we get married. And then before we know it, we have kids. And I was watching some brothers and sisters this morning at breakfast, and saw our brother from Ohio bringing his son over to a table, and he just had to pick him up and carry him over and put him down because he was running the wrong direction. And it reminded me of a dad lion picking up his naughty son lion with his mouth and having to bring him where he was supposed to go. And the truth of the matter is, when we become parents, our lives change. And so I was chatting with my wife yesterday evening about this question, and she repeated something to me three times. And she said that you have to say this to the moms three times. And so I have to say this, just to make clear. And that is that raising your kids is serving the Lord. And she said it three times. And I think at this point, not because I'm hoping my wife is listening, but I wanted to just share that moms have a very special ministry. And I listed some things out. Moms wake their family members up. They make lunch and pack lunches. They make breakfast. They wash clothes, clean their room, make dinner, pick up dirty laundry, comforts and sadness. And all these things I listed were just for their husbands. Because there are so many more things that they do for their kids. And they might be listed in Proverbs 31. You could read through the Bible. But what we realize is in the household of God, mothers really deserve and should have a place of honor. And so this is very special. The special ministry of moms cannot be underemphasized. And so in that period of time, as we have our primary ministry, which is to our family and to our kids, if we still have the heart to serve others, young people, this is really a wonderful thing. But remember, too, that moms, their lives bear testimony. We see love and we see caring and patience. And before we become parents, we might serve in a certain way. But I think it's worth remembering that as we move into these new phases of life, there are different ways in which we can serve the Lord. and we shouldn't compare. There really are different ways, and we need to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit as to where we should go and when we should step forward and when we may need to take a step back and take some time. So these only come, as Brother Kong was sharing, from that inner life, that leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will say a couple. The question is, well, can we give some practical examples? And these are things that we did. When we wanted to serve, and we continued to serve the young people when we had our kids. We were in San Diego, and we were in a fellowship, and there were a bunch of young guys, and I'm still friends with them to this day. I mean, they love sports. They were funny. They made crazy jokes. And one of the things that we did is we created a family environment whenever we served. So I always brought my son with me, and we would do things together. And when we would go out or we would have dinner together, I would take them to dinner every so often. I'd bring my son and put him in a seat next to me or in a, what are those called again, where you hold them and... No, not a high chair. I remember a high chair. The carrying thing. See, you forget these things. But I would bring him with me. And I remember one really wonderful moment was that the guys used to start really, they really loved him. And we were in a message meeting on Sunday, and all of a sudden, one of the brothers, his name was also Matt, he said, oh, and my son began to learn how to walk in the middle of the meeting because one of the young brothers wasn't really listening to the message, was trying to teach him how to walk, and he started to walk. And we were so happy. But I think, brothers and sisters, the point of it is that we make the serving a family, and we want to make sure that the younger people whom we are serving know that they are part of the family. Have it at your house whenever you can, and don't worry about cleaning. And so when we would have meetings at our house, it was really fun, and it was, again, that family environment. But the important thing is to make sure that you let everybody know what the time limits are. Right, because at a certain period of time, it's time for everyone to go home because they'll stay forever, which is wonderful. But we just need to make sure that we know, and that's okay. Minimize the non-relational responsibilities. And so what I mean by that is, like, some sisters really feel that they need to cook or they need to, in order to show love. You know, have your husband do a barbecue. You know, buy pizza, just those things we can try to minimize the extra work that perhaps is not directly involved in showing in interacting. Maybe your way is doing that. You can cook together or whatever, but what I say is whatever situation is, minimize those things that the Holy Spirit permits you to minimize that are not directly related. This one's very important. Find sisters, brothers find brothers who can go the way with us. Maybe mentor us. It's kind of a weird word to use in this situation, but someone who's gone the way before. I mean, I think of what Dana was sharing yesterday about Paul having gone through difficulty, and then because of what the Holy Spirit did in Paul, there was something imparted that Paul could use for others. And there are moms who have gone the way before, and it's really important to be able to have that bonding. You know, when we first have our kids, you know, you're in your late 20s, early 30s, and it just seems like no one else has ever gone through this before. But I assure you, if you came to talk to my wife or many of the sisters that the Lord has treasured in each fellowship who have been moms, there's going to be a lot of wisdom there and listening and praying that are necessary to keep going. Pray. Make sure that the strength that was yours before is always the same strength in the Lord. Find a quiet place. Cultivate our relationships with the Lord in the secret place. These are always really very important. And as your kids get older, and you're still serving, we have to make sure that our kids always know that we love them. This is very important. Because in my generation, if you ask the brothers and sisters from my generation, what a lot of them say is that our parents served so much that we never saw them. And we knew they loved the Lord and we knew they loved the church, but we didn't know they loved us. And this should not be. So brothers and sisters, make sure that your kids, as you're continuing to serve, that your kids know that you love them. And I try to ask my kids every day until they're so annoyed, you know. And so it's very important that we keep doing that. And that when then they'll grow up in a house knowing that the Lord is the head of the house. My mom and dad, they love the Lord, and I know that they love me. It's an environment that cultivates growth in the Lord Jesus. And then to continue to grow in the Lord in our hearts and be watchful for bitterness and complaining. These are usually hints that maybe something is not entirely right. And to always then to be able to go back to the Lord, back to find fellowship with brothers and sisters. These are always important things. So hopefully that is of help to you as you've asked that question. The second question is, and to be honest, Brother Kong answered this one already. I'll read it. What is the difference between an outward walk, following orders and commands, I think having to do with that outward walk, and an inward walk, also requiring obedience? And I think this is a really good question. Both of these questions are questions I have had and continue to have. So I'll just read a couple of verses. Really, in light of the answer that Brother Kong already mentioned, which is the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to read two verses. If we could turn to Romans chapter 2, it has to do with circumcision. It's kind of strange, but just let me read it, and you'll see. We'll read chapter 2, verse. Maybe we'll start in 25. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If therefore the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? And then to pay attention particularly to 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. And so if we could take verse 29 and just, I mean, what Brother Kong was talking about, I'm just going to go through these 4 points in 29 that can be of help. And they are, number one, that the inward walk or the inward life is by the heart. And so it's to say that in our heart or in our spirit, there is something submitting to another's guidance. And when we think of obedience, as was mentioned in the question, sort of versus obligation, right? Obedience is really two, that someone is in obedience to someone else. And so in our hearts that we would have chosen to submit to what the Lord would want. Now, to clarify, that doesn't necessarily mean that you like it. But it means that we submit to what the Lord would want. The second is of course the most important, and it's by the Spirit. And I would just refer you to what Brother Kong was mentioning, that the Holy Spirit has the leadership in our heart to speak to us and to give us and when we ask of the Lord to shed light on our lives, that He would tell us, help us to know where we should go. And we would honor his instruction. Not by the letter. Now, at this point, I would just like to read another verse, regarding not by the letter, which is in Matthew chapter 21. I really like this verse because I've done it many times. It's chapter 21, verse 28. It's a parable the Lord was giving. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will, sir." And he did not go. And he came to the second and said the same thing. But he answered and said, "I will not." Yet he afterwards regretted it and went. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said the latter. So this was just an example the Lord was giving about having a heart to do the will of their father. And sometimes we just don't want to do it. And so I think what it really does bring us back to is, do we have the heart, even though our flesh really doesn't want to do it, but in the end, we may resist it, and we may even complain and do all this, but in the end, does the Lord win out in our hearts? And so to do something by the Spirit, I think, and not by the letter, is very important. And then the last point was that our praise is not from men, but from God. And so that is to say that the things that we do in our life, the outward things, are really because in our inner heart we wanted the Lord to be pleased. So these couple of points from verse 29. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention was just briefly to get back to our inner room. Because sometimes, I wanted to say that sometimes we overanalyze ourselves. And so if we're asking, you know, what I did I do it because it was just the outer walk and not the inner walk? And I have to say that there's a life in us for those of us who are saved. And sometimes what we think we are doing because we think we're doing it out of obligation, sometimes the Holy Spirit is actually doing something in our hearts. And it really is, in the end, out of obedience. And so it has to do with the life that is in us. And sometimes we just can't tell by looking at the outside. And that's why we should ask the Lord, like, to shed light in our life. So it's good to wonder, you know, where did that come from? But I think sometimes the Lord is doing something in us. And we have to trust and have faith in that life, that the Lord is continuing to give us options to grow. It may feel like we're doing it out of obligation at the beginning, but what it may really be is the first fruit of obedience. So those are just my thoughts.